You can keep your Bibles open to that text this morning, John 14, 18 through 24. That's our text for this morning. That's the text that I've been studying all week long. As I was also preparing for Gary's memorial service. And I hope that you will see this morning, if you haven't already seen, what wonderful words. What wonderful words those are for me this past week, preparing for that service, for the family, and for all of us, as we are reminded on Friday and continue to be reminded this morning of the hope that is ours in Christ. So please turn to, if you're not there already, to John 14, verses 18 through 24. And as we do continue in our study in the Gospel of John that we've undertaken many, many months ago and are continuing there, as we do continue in our look in these chapters, chapter 13, 14, and following, where Jesus is now situated with the 11 in the upper room, giving the last words, his last instructions to him before his arrest, his betrayal, his arrest, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. His last instructions to them. Before we continue on with this upper room discourse, as it were, we need to hit the pause button. We really do need to hit the pause button just briefly this morning by way of introduction and imagine, even briefly imagine, what this would have been like for the disciples, for the 11, as they hear these words. We know the rest of the story. We know the end of the story. We have the rest of the Gospel of John. We have the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have the book of Acts, even, that follows this. We know the end of the story. We know the rest of the story. But the 11 disciples at this point don't. What must they have been feeling is what I want you to imagine just now. What must they have been feeling when just days ago, they entered Jerusalem with Jesus in the triumphal entry. And now, just a few days later, they're gathered in the upper room, and Jesus is saying, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to be going away. Imagine what they must have been feeling. Their world at this moment, their world must have seemed to be just falling apart, coming apart at the seams, as it were. And with that in your mind, it helps us, I think, understand what Jesus has already said and what Jesus is saying to us and to the 11 this morning. And that is why, as I say, Jesus says, first of all, back in earlier on in John 14, in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then Jesus continues on. Last week even, he says many other things, but just briefly. Last week in verses 16 and 17, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Jesus offers up words of comfort, words of assurance to the 11. And he does so similarly to those verses in verse 16 and 17. He will do so again next week in verses 25 and following. Again talking about the sending of the Spirit. Not in a theological way, at least not for theological reasons, but rather to offer comfort and assurance. And he also offers up words of comfort and assurance before he goes in our text this morning. in verse number 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What amazing words of assurance, what amazing words of comfort the Lord offers up to the 11. I'm going away, yes, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. And so we're going to be looking at this text this morning and what follows as Jesus and as John unpack before us and as I attempt to unpack what Jesus means when he says, I will come to you. And as we are going to be considering that in just a moment and launching into it, we once again have to answer a question, first of all, though. There's a question that ought to come into your mind, as I so often say. And here it comes. To what event, or to what events, is Jesus referring here when he says, I will come to you? To what event or events is Jesus referring here? Is he talking about his second coming? I will come to you. I will come again. Well, that could be. It could be that he's talking about that. Or is he talking about what he was just talking about in the earlier verses? Is he talking last week? Is he talking about the sending of the Spirit? That he is going, he will go to the Father, but he will pray to the Father, and the Father will send another helper. He will send the Spirit of truth, even as we considered last week. Is he talking about those things? One of those things? Is he talking about both of those things? We might be tempted. I was tempted as I began to study this early on in this week. I was initially tempted to think that Jesus was talking here about the sending of the Spirit. After all, he was just talking about that in the previous verses. After all, he's going to be talking about that next week again in verse 25 and following. So surely sandwiched in between, he's continuing to talk about the Spirit. But he doesn't actually mention the Spirit here. So is that the case? It is certainly the case that we could say that Jesus comes to us, comes to the 11, comes to us in the Spirit and in the coming of the Holy Spirit. That could be said, perhaps, but is that the case here? Is that what Jesus is talking about here? Or again, we could view this as him issuing forth a promise of his second coming, of his return, that we also continue to await that glorious day. Is he talking about that? Well, we are going to see and talk about a little bit of that towards the end of our time together this morning. That is certainly part of, perhaps, what Jesus is saying here. His return, his second coming. But I think that Jesus is talking about here primarily and first and foremost, and everything hinging on this, I think he's talking about something else. I think he's talking about something quite simple and straightforward here. He's talking about his resurrection. He's talking about coming again to them in his post-resurrection appearances. He's talking about just a few days hence that he will not only die, but he will be raised again, and I will come again to you. He's first of all, I think, talking about that. Yes, there may be these other things in there. And these other things are in there because they are hinged with and dependent upon and hinged to the fact that he will first rise again from the dead and will come to them in that way. Why do I say this? Notice the language, first of all. Notice the language and what is not being said there, first of all. There's no mention of the Spirit. There's no mention of the Spirit in these verses. He specifically talks about, I will come to you. I will come to you. He doesn't talk about the Spirit. He doesn't talk about the Spirit in the way that he normally does in the previous verses and the following verses, that he will send, that the Father will send the Spirit. He doesn't talk about that in these verses. Rather, he uses language like this, because I live, you will live also. He says other things such as, in that day you will know. And so I think first and foremost, Jesus is talking about his resurrection just a few days hence. He's talking about that he will come again as the resurrected Lord, as the risen Christ, as the risen Lord. And in so doing, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, and I will come to you as the resurrected one. And thus, as we now move into the rest of the text this morning, as Jesus unpacks, as John unpacks, as I attempt to unpack this first phrase, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. As it is unpacked in the remaining verses, what we are going to see this morning is Jesus giving to the 11, Jesus giving to us five things, five truths that we can cling to, five truths that we can cling to as Jesus comes to us. As Jesus came to the 11, as Jesus comes to us, as the resurrected one, five truths. Number one, you will see me. You will see me. Quite simply, in verse 19, Jesus says that. Following verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, continuing in 19, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. First of all, you will see me, Jesus says. Quite simply, and literally, Jesus has been telling them that he will leave them. For he's going to the cross. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die there on the cross. But then he will rise again. He is telling them that now. He will rise again. And when he rises again, he will come to them. Quite literally, he will come to them. And they will see him. Jesus says they will see him. Jesus also says that the world will see me no more. And as we read the accounts following the resurrection, as we read the accounts of the post-resurrection appearances, what do we note there? That Jesus does just that. Jesus comes to them. Jesus does not come to the world. There is no record of Jesus coming to unbelievers. There's no record of Jesus coming to the world here. The resurrected Christ appeared to his followers and to his followers only, not to the world. Why is that the case? Why was that the case? Because his purpose was not to go to the world. His purpose was, just as he says here, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, and you will see me. That is his purpose in those post-resurrection appearances. Of course, we can add to that as we talk about the world not seeing him. Of course, we can add to that that in the second coming, they will see him. They will see him. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1 7. There is a day coming when Christ will return, and yes, the world will all see him on that day. But here, back in John 14, as Jesus speaks of his resurrection that will occur just days hence, Jesus there says he will come to his own, and they will see him. He comes to his own so that they will see him and know that they have not been left as orphans. Notice that I say also that I said he comes to the 11, but I've also predominantly been saying and very deliberately saying he came then to his own, and he comes to his own. And I say that because you may be thinking, you wouldn't perhaps say this out loud, but you might be thinking, well, all of this is fine enough for the 11. They got to see the post-resurrection Christ, the risen Christ, the risen one. They got to see him literally, even as I'm trying to explain now. They literally saw him. That's fine and dandy for them, but what about me? What about us today? Well, that's why I've been specifically saying he came to them, to the 11, but he comes to his own. He comes to his own. He comes not only to the disciples so that they literally see him, but he comes to us also, assuring us that we have not been left as orphans. That as the disciples, as the 11, and as the New Testament writers bear witness to us, we also see him. We also see him and know that we have not been left as orphans. But rather, he comes to us also as they bear witness to us. Indeed, 2 Sundays from now, just 2 weeks from now, as we begin our service, what will be the first words that you will hear announced? He is risen. And what will you reply on that occasion? And there's nothing wrong with us saying that the other 51 Sundays a year, is there? Because he is risen, and he has come to us. He came to the 11, and he comes to us. He comes to us as they bear witness, as the New Testament writers bear witness to us. He is risen. He is the risen Lord. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, and you will see me. And you will see me. Now I'm going to move to number 2. That was number 1 of the 5 truths that we want to speak of this morning, that Jesus and our text speaks of. I want to move to number 2 in just a moment, but I must do something else first. For this is what I've been thinking of all week and contemplating all week as I've been in this text. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, and you will see me. But there's something that I also have been thinking about all week, and that is this. Gary sees him. Gary sees him. Jesus promises, yes, that we will see him, not only the 11, but we will see him. That we will see him as, once again, the New Testament writers bear witness to us through the scriptures of the resurrected one. He comes to us in that way, and we see him, absolutely. But also, because he rose again, one day, we will see him face to face, even as Gary sees him right now. Jesus says, I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you and you will see me. But also, number 2, the resurrected Christ also comes to us, not only to the 11. He comes to the 11, he comes to us saying, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And because I live, you will live also. Verse 19 still, just later on. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Because Christ arose. Because, first of all, Christ died. Because Christ died as an atoning sacrifice for sin. For all who will trust in him. Because Christ died as an atoning sacrifice for sin. but also because the Father raised him from the dead. Because the Father raised him from the dead. And I remind you also, once again, as I have done before, in that the Father declares the sacrifice is accepted. Because Christ died as a sacrifice, because the Father in the resurrection declared that the sacrifice is accepted, because Christ arose conquering death, conquering the grave, because Christ arose not only conquering death and conquering the grave, but because Christ arose conquering death and conquering the grave for you and me, then Christ can say, because I live, you will live also. And Jesus says here, once again, if you'll allow me this, because I live, Gary will live also. Because I live, Gary lives also. For as I love to say at such times as this, as I love to say, Gary is more alive right now than he has ever been. And forgive me for this, Gary's a lot more alive than any of us are. Because I live, you will live also. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, and you will see me. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And because I live, you will live also. And thirdly, as we hasten on, I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. And then as he adds in verse 20, and at that day you will know that I am in you. Excuse me, that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus says, that in the resurrection, as the Father raises him from the dead, we see clearly there, that Jesus is in the Father. That in the resurrection, we see clearly there that Jesus is in the Father. We see clearly there that we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. Let's deal with the first part of that. We see in the resurrection, Jesus says, clearly in the resurrection, that Jesus, the Son, is in the Father. We see the unity of the Father and the Son. That as the Son lays down his life on the cross, but not only lays down his life on the cross, but lays it down in perfect obedience to the Father, he does so. And as the Father then raises him from the dead, saying as he does so, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Jesus is now saying that in that resurrection, therefore, there is an exclamation point. There's an exclamation point, if I can put it this way, that is placed on all that Jesus has been saying, all that John has been saying throughout the Gospel of John. For once again, one of the clear things, one of the clearest things that Jesus and John have been saying is the unity between the Father and Son. And now with the resurrection, there's an exclamation point that is put on that. As the Father raises him and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus says that in the resurrection, you will know all that I've been saying is clearly true, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But also, the second part of that, in the resurrection, you will also know that you are in me and I am in you. Not only that, but Jesus says the resurrection is the ultimate confirmation also, of the unity not only of the Father and Son, but the unity of the believer and Christ. That we, by faith, are in Christ, and Christ, by faith, by our faith, is in us. That Christ is in us, and we are in him. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And in that day, you will know you will know that I am in you and you are in me. Fourthly, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you and you will see me and you will live because I live. And you will know in that day that I am in you and you are in me. And fourthly, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you and you will love me and be loved by me. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. We saw this, we heard this, a portion of this at least, earlier last week. Those of you who were with us last week. In verse 15, Jesus said that last week. Said what? Jesus said last week, and he says again here in verse 21, that for the believer, for the one who trusts in Christ for salvation, trusts in Christ and Christ alone, for the believer, for that one, in other words, who loves Christ, as he put it in verse 15, as he put it here again in verse 21, he who loves me, that one will give evidence to that, will give evidence to that by obeying Jesus' commandments, by obeying his words. He said that last week in verse 15. He says it again this week in verse 21, but he adds then something else to that in verse 21 this week. He adds something more. He adds also, and the Father will love him, and I will love him. The Father will love that one, and I will love that one. Now, don't misread, don't misunderstand what is being said here. I said this last week, but I need to say it again this week with this added on portion as well. The believer does not, and this is what it's not saying, the believer does not initiate. We do not initiate this loving relationship. When Jesus says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, this is not a cause and effect thing. For we do not initiate. We do not initiate by our love. We do not initiate by our obedience the love that comes to us from the Father, the love that comes to us from Christ. But rather, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. Excuse me. We love him because he first loved us. We do not initiate this loving relationship. For rather, God first loved us as believers. God first loved us and placed his love upon us in eternity past. And then in time and space and history, God loved us in sending his Son to the cross to purchase our salvation, to accomplish our salvation there. And in the resurrection of Christ, we see also that not only that, but God will love us. The Father will love us. Christ will love us on into eternity. And we see that, Jesus says, in my resurrection, as he comes to us as the risen one. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And I will love you. I will love you. Fifthly, finally, and in conclusion, we will make our home with you. In these final verses, verses 22 through 24, to conclude here, Judas, not Iscariot, another one of the 11, asks a question, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How's this going to take place? How is it? And why is it that you will manifest yourself to us but not to the world? Even as we spoke of earlier, even as Jesus spoke of this earlier in verse 19, Judas, not Iscariot, now asks him that question. How is this going to be? Why is this going to be? Tell us more about this. I don't understand this. We don't understand this. So it's interesting how Jesus answers the question. Jesus answers the question by repeating himself somewhat. Jesus answers the question and says, once again, interestingly, that if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus answers this question by again saying that the believer, the one who truly is trusting in Christ for salvation, will be the one who loves Christ and therefore be the one who gives evidence of that by obeying his commandments. Jesus repeats that. He said that before. He says it again here now. But he adds on some words, doesn't he? He adds on some words to this. And he says, in addition, and we will come to him. We, the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus adds these wonderful words, and you might ask, well, how does this fifth glorious truth, how does this differ? Does it differ? How does it differ from what Jesus said earlier, even this morning in verse 20? In verse 20, the third truth that we took a look at in verse 20 was, I will come to you, and I will be in you, and you will be in me, and you will know that in that day, that I am in you, and you in me. So Jesus has already said, you will know that I am in you, and you in me, and now he's saying, we will come to you and make our home with you. How is this final statement, this final truth, differ from what Jesus has already said? In the fact that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Well, on one level, they are very similar statements. On one level, there is great similarity, great parallel here. That as Jesus comes as the resurrected one, as the resurrected Christ, we know that we are united with him, even as we said earlier. We know that. And so on that level, yes, it's very similar truths that Jesus is saying now at the conclusion of our text. But he goes further there, doesn't he? And so, let me put it this way, and let me close with this. Even as I closed last week, that I think in these additional words, and we will make our home with him. I think Jesus is doing here, and I would like to take this in the same direction that we saw Jesus taking us in last week. As he talked about the Holy Spirit coming last week. As we talked about that, and as I suggested, we were being pointed ahead there. For any time we talk about the Spirit within us, we recognize that that is but a down payment. And last week, we closed by being pointed ahead, pointed to a day when that will be fully true, that we are in the presence of God for all eternity. And I would like to close in a similar fashion today by being pointed ahead. Pointed to that day, yes, where we are in Christ and Christ is in us. But when that will be fully manifest, fully revealed, and come in all its fullness. For when in that day, the Father, the Son, God will make his home with us. And let me therefore conclude with the words that we began our service with this morning, very strategically and very emphatically. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. He will make his home with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Jesus says, I will come to you. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you and you will see me. I will come to you and you will live because I live. I will come to you and you will know that I am in you and you are in me. I will come to you and you will love me and I will love you. But also, I will come to you and we will make our home with you. And we will dwell with you and you will dwell with us forevermore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the resurrected one. We thank you this morning that Christ, that you have not left us as orphans. We thank you that you are in us and we are in you. We thank you that we have the promise, the assurance, the knowledge as your children, that even as Gary now stands before his God, stands before his Savior, even as Gary lives, even as Gary sees his Savior, that we too have that promise, have that knowledge, have that assurance that we also will live, that we also will see you. And Father, all the more, we thank you and praise you that we will see you, that we will live, that we will live with you forevermore, that you will make your home with us, that you will be our God and we shall be your people, that you shall wipe away every tear. There shall be no more sorrow, no more pain. We thank you, Father. And we simply pray once again, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.